Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 72 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
It positions us well in terms of steelmaking at Ashland for the balance of 2014. The majority of these issues are behind us.
AK Steel President James Wainscott says the blast furnace at the Ashland Works has been repaired, but that did not stop the company from losing $86 million in the last quarter.
A Moorhead man lost his life in a traffic accident today.
And state officials say more than 413,000 Kentuckians now have health insurance through the state exchange.
In sports, UK's Julius Randle entered the NBA draft.
But Luke has the business news.
It'll be cooler tonight with patchy frost possible, low in the 30s. The complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
A 52-year-old Moorhead man was killed this morning when his pickup truck veered off Open Fork Road in Rowan County and struck a concrete culvert. Kentucky State Police say Thomas Mabry died in the accident shortly after 10 o'clock. Troopers say the victim was ejected from his vehicle and was pronounced dead at the scene.
An Olive Hill man is held in the Carter County Detention Center on charges that he tried to murder his wife. Kentucky State Police say 49-year-old Robert Tackett is accused of shooting Lisa Tackett in the neck Saturday during a domestic dispute. She is also 49 and is in stable condition in a tri-state hospital. In addition to attempted murder, Robert Tackett is also charged with domestic violence.
Three people have pleaded innocent to attacking and killing a woman in Lewis County. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports that 25-year-old Jesse Logan Bertram, 36-year-old John Glispie, and 26-year-old Brian Clark, all of Garrison, entered the pleas in Lewis Circuit Court to reckless homicide charges. The men are accused of attacking Heather Stone last October along State Route 1306. Police claim they left her in the middle of the road and she was struck by a passing vehicle.
AK Steel today reported a net loss of more than $86 million during the first quarter, and problems at its Ashland Works were said to be a contributing factor. President James Wainscott says the company had to repair the Ashland blast furnace, which was damaged during an incident in February.
Our first quarter financial results were bogged down by a combination of planned and unplanned maintenance outages at our Ashland Works blast furnace. After experiencing an unplanned event in late February, we chose to accelerate a planned blast furnace outage at Ashland Works that had been scheduled for the second quarter of 2014.
Wainscott says the blast furnace resumed operations last month. Adding to AK's difficulties, he says, were higher natural gas and electricity costs. Wainscott says they were $30 million more than in the first quarter of 2013 because of extremely cold weather. He claims the firm has worked through its first quarter challenges and is now well positioned for a much improved second quarter. AK's Ashland Mill employs about 800 steelworkers.
SOAR is a fine concept, but unless it is supported by financial commitments, it'll have little impact. That's the view of Pike County State Senator Ray Jones. The Democrat is talking about the Shaping Our Appalachian Region initiative, created by Governor Beshear and Congressman Hal Rogers. It's an effort to diversify and improve the region's economy as it attempts to recover from the effects of a declining coal industry. SOAR working groups dealing with education, infrastructure, business recruitment, and other issues meet in Somerset Thursday as part of the East Kentucky Leadership Conference. Senator Jones supports the process, but says that's only the starting point.
It's great to have the dialogue, but let's be blunt. You know, talk is cheap, and it takes money to do the things that we need to do in Eastern Kentucky. Congressman Rogers pledging and Governor Beshear pledging money for high-speed internet. That's vitally important for businesses to be able to not only lure new businesses to Eastern Kentucky, but also to help the existing businesses we have in Eastern Kentucky.
Jones says other projects are going to require similar financial backing. He says some lawmakers in Frankfort seem intent on continuing to cut the budget. The senator insists that's not a path to prosperity.
When it comes to Kentucky's counties, hunger does not discriminate. That's one of the findings in a new study. The annual Map the Meal Gap report indicates 17% of Kentucky's residents are food insecure. That includes just over 220,000 children. Tamara Sandberg, director of the Kentucky Association of Food Banks, says every county has hungry people.
Oldham County is right just under 10% at the lowest rate. So there, every county in Kentucky has a problem with hunger. It's not an Appalachian problem alone. It's not an urban or rural problem alone. It is a Kentucky problem.
Sandberg says unemployment or marginal employment are key factors leading to hunger within families. The Food Bank Association executive believes raising the minimum wage would help address this ongoing problem.
House Transportation Committee Chairman Hubie Collins says road maintenance and repairs in Kentucky will not be as extensive over the next 2 years as they could have been. The Wintonsville Democrat says that's because the state's new budget doesn't permit the fuel tax to increase by a penny and a half. The assessment was allowed in the original House plan, but the Senate didn't go along, and the final version doesn't include a provision for a higher rate. Collins says that means fewer dollars for local projects.
I think it would have been much better to do that and continue to build the roads. See, the county's got about 48% of that fuel tax to help them in their road projects, so I'm sure they were disappointed also.
$5.1 billion in projects are authorized in Kentucky's new road plan during the next 2 years.
If there is a special session of the Kentucky General Assembly later this year, there will be more than one issue on the agenda. That's according to Governor Beshear. He's the only person who can authorize a special session, as well as decide what items are included on the call. Senate President Robert Stivers has appealed to the Democratic governor to ask lawmakers to return to Frankfort to consider legislation combating heroin abuse in the Commonwealth. Beshear is sifting through several matters that were left unresolved during the recent session and says the heroin issue is among them.
Certainly, if we end up with a special session, you'd want to do it on several issues and expand it and make sure that you include everything that where action is needed. And obviously, I think Rupp Arena is one of those.
The governor has been seeking approval of a more than $300 million plan to renovate Rupp Arena and the Lexington Convention Center when the clock ran out on the 2014 Kentucky General Assembly. Lawmakers adjourned without having agreed to do so.
A Kentucky nonprofit organization is working to get young people involved in ending violence. Youth Alert was founded 2 years ago by Doug Wayne. Wayne serves as the organization's executive director and says he hopes to create a youth action team in every Kentucky county.
To bring the message to schools, to community centers, to parks, to street corners, to have places of worship, all the information that we have amassed, because violence prevention education works. If kids know better, they do better.
Wayne says county chapter meetings will allow for the teaching of leadership and peace-building skills. He says it's important that participation be voluntary, but he adds it's in the self-interest of youth to get involved.
Officials at Midway College are providing a transfer option for students of a Western Kentucky school that will be closing this summer. Mayfield's Mid-Continent University will close in June, leaving students of the private school to find college alternatives. Stephanie Whaley is the Dean of Enrollment at Midway College. She says the school is well prepared to serve those students.
We will give them a special code so that we can waive all application fees for Mid-Continent students. We will also assist them with ordering their transcripts. We will actually reach out to previous colleges and universities and help them through that process. We want to be as accommodating as possible.
Whaley says Midway offers the same small class sizes that students have become accustomed to at Mid-Continent. She thinks the transition for transferring students should be easy. Questions about the transfer process can be answered at midway.edu or by calling 888-75-MIDWAY.
Marshall University undergraduate students would pay higher tuition and fees under proposals being considered by the school's Board of Governors. The panel may vote on the proposed increases for the 2014-15 academic year during its meetings today and Wednesday. If the increases are approved, the Herald-Dispatch reports that in-state undergraduate students would pay an additional $155 per semester, Out-of-state students would pay an extra $290. Tuition and fees for Metro students would increase by $325. President Stephen Kopp told the Faculty Senate last week that Marshall has lost $11 million in state appropriations during the past 2 years of statewide budget cuts.
When it comes to the city's comprehensive plan for the future, Morehead Mayor David Perkins thinks it's a pretty good one. While saying the blueprint's objectives for improving life in the town are not very specific, Perkins admits that was done on purpose.
I mean, there are things listed here, quite a number of them, but we were advised by the consultant not to get very specific. If circumstances change 2 or 3 years from now, 5 or 10 years from now, if you get too specific, you don't have the ability to adjust to the circumstances that are existing at that point.
Among the aspects the Morehead Comprehensive Plan deals with are transportation and infrastructure improvement issues, along with setting loose goals for recreation and economic development. The plan has been reviewed by the Morehead Round County Lakeview Heights Planning Commission. And now your weather forecast for the listening region. Tonight we'll have cooler temperatures, mostly clear with patchy frost late. Lows around 38 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be mostly sunny with highs near 62. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, patchy frost late, lows around 33 in the valleys and near 41 on the ridges. Thursday, partly cloudy, a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms, warmer with highs around 72, chance of rain 50%. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with showers likely and a slight chance of thunderstorms, lows near 55, chance of rain 60%. Friday, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and highs up around 70. Friday night, partly cloudy with lows around 50. Saturday, it'll be partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and highs near 72. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows around 46 degrees, chance of rain 30%. Sunday through Monday, we'll see mostly cloudy skies with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs near 64 and lows around 49. The chance of rain will be 40%. It's currently 74 degrees in Ashland, 72 right now in Flemingsburg, 74 in Inez, 71 in Lexington, and 71 as well in Winchester. 72 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State Public Radio.
It is 4:43. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio, and we are mighty glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, officials with Kentucky's Health and Family Services Cabinet say over 413,000 people have now enrolled in a health insurance plan through the state's exchange known as Connect. Kentucky is the only southern state to set up its own marketplace following passage of the Federal Affordable Care Act. The ACA requires everyone to have health insurance. I spoke with Governor Beshear about the issue in West Liberty Monday. He says during the weekend before the March 31st deadline to sign up for insurance, more than 30,000 Kentuckians did so.
That tells me what a pent-up demand that there is all across this state with Kentuckians who want affordable health coverage, not only for themselves, but their families, their kids. I've had more people come up to me day after day, and some with tears in their eyes, saying, Governor, we just want to thank you and the state for giving us this opportunity so that our kids can go to the doctor, so that we can keep them from getting sick, so that we can keep from getting sick, and we'll be at work every day as opposed to being home because we weren't able to use preventive care to do that. So in a generation in this state, we're going to see a huge positive difference in our workforce, and that's just going to help attract more jobs.
Governor, I know there was some concern, even among Democrats in the legislature, about Kentucky's ability to pay for the expanded Medicaid program when the federal government perhaps withdraws some of its support. Do you think we'll have enough money to do that?
Before I made the decision to expand the Medicaid program, I brought in the internationally renowned actuarial firm PricewaterhouseCoopers, and I said, I need you to look at this for me and give me a recommendation, because there is a lot of concern about down the road, can we afford the expansion of Medicaid? Well, they took about 6 months, and they studied this in depth. They came back, sat down across the table from me, looked me in the eye, and said, Governor, you really can't afford not to do this. Because over the next 8 years, as you implement this, it's going to create over 17,000 new jobs in the healthcare industry and in related industries. It's going to bring about $15 billion in new money into the state, and that'll go into your economy, into your stores, into your neighborhoods. That will create economic growth, and that your budget will have a positive impact because of this program. After I got that report, there wasn't any question in my mind. I knew all along it was the right thing to do from a moral standpoint, but I wanted to make sure that we could also afford to do it. And we can, we will, and our people are going to be the beneficiaries of it.
Governor Beshear says 640,000 Kentuckians did not have health insurance before Congress passed the Affordable Care Act. The governor made his comments at the Morgan County Nursery on Monday afternoon during the celebration of the reopening of that facility after the March 2012 tornado. It is 4:46. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered, the latest national and international news from National Public Radio is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And Chase has sports. He's up right now.
Randall, a Wildcat no more. Good evening. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Chase Scott. Kentucky freshman forward Julius Randle has declared for the NBA draft, which doesn't come as a surprise to many Kentucky basketball fans. Randle had a stellar freshman season, averaging 15 points a game while also grabbing around 10.5 boards. He says his stint at Kentucky will always be a memorable one, but he knows he is making the right decision.
I think about it, it just went by fast. And, I'm definitely going to miss it. Kentucky will always have a special place in my heart. And, but growing up as a kid, there's always been my dream, to play in the NBA. And, there's no better opportunity for me to achieve that goal than now.
Randle will now move into the pool of names such as Jabari Parker, Andrew Wiggins, Tyler Ennis, and Joel Embiid for the top pick in the NBA draft. According to ESPN, Randle sits in the area of picks 3 through 6 in the selection process. The University of Tennessee officially introduced Donnie Tindall as their new head coach at a press conference this afternoon. Tindall spent the past two seasons at Southern Mississippi, where he compiled a 56-17 record while competing in back-to-back NIT quarterfinal games. He says the history of Tennessee really drew him towards the job.
I'm humbled to be your coach. I think Tennessee is a special, special place. And many people would ask, well, why do you think that, Coach? I say this, the tradition, starting with Coach Mears and all the great coaches that have coached at this university. So many great coaches, and I'm proud to be one of them, or at least be a head coach grouped in with those guys at this point.
Tindall was a former Morehead State men's basketball head coach, where he took the Eagles in the most notable run in his coaching career with an upset win over Louisville in the NCAA tournament. He takes over a Tennessee basketball squad that is fresh off a Sweet 16 run and a 21-12 record. New Morehead State women's basketball coach Greg Todd says it should be a given that his team takes part every March in the OVC tournament. Todd officially took over the Eagles on Monday. He's promising to have a class program that plays an exciting brand of basketball.
I think you'll see a team that's going to play very, very hard and get better. One of the things I've also been very proud of, knock on wood, 22 years, I don't think I've ever had a team that was not playing better in January and February than in November, December. So I'm hoping that stands true.
During his 8 seasons at Transylvania University, Todd took the Pioneers to 4 Heartland Collegiate Athletic Conference championships and to 3 NCAA Division III tournaments. The NBA playoffs roll on tonight with 3 games on the schedule. Starting at 7, the Hawks will take their 1-0 series lead as they face the Pacers in Indiana. At 7:30, the Nets will look to improve on their 1-0 series lead as they face the Raptors in Toronto again. And at 9:30, John Wall and the Wizards look to keep things rolling against the Bulls as they lead the series 1-0. The Cincinnati Reds will be in action tonight as they look to avenge last night's 6-5 loss to the Pirates in Pittsburgh. The Red Legs should be feeling good about tonight's chances as they will have their ace Johnny Cueto on the mound. Cueto doesn't have the best record at 1-2, but maintains a 1.50 ERA, striking out 35 on the year. The Pirates will counter with former Red Edison Volquez on the hill. He will bring a 1-0 record while holding on to 1.74 ERA on the season. The Reds will bring in an 8-11 record while the Pirates stand at 9-11 as the first pitch from PNC Park in Pittsburgh is scheduled for 7:05. Looking at other games from around Major League Baseball for tonight, the Nationals will host the Angels, the Blue Jays and Orioles square off in Toronto, the Braves and Marlins meet in Atlanta, the Red Sox welcome in the Yankees, the Rangers and A's play in Oakland, the Dodgers and Phillies are in L.A., and the Red Hot Brewers, winners of 15, play host to the Padres. The Lexington Legends will also be in action shortly as they look to get back their loss from Hickory last night. Legends will have Matthew Tenuta on the bump. He holds on to a 1-1 record on the year. Crawdads will throw Nicholas Wiper, who also has a 1-1 record. First pitch is scheduled for 6 p.m. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles are slated for a 6 o'clock game tonight at Ohio University. With the help of last week's sweep of OVC rival UT Martin, Coach Mike McGuire's Eagles have now won 5 in a row.
We're playing well, and I think we're gaining confidence as a club, getting better every time out, and I like our club. I think right now that, you know, as I said afterwards, I said, who's playing better than we are? You know, we can play with anybody, beat anybody, and we're starting to believe that.
Ohio is just 6-29 this spring. The Bobcats have lost 14 of their last 15 games and are hitting just .241 as a team. Cincinnati Bengals star A.J. Green now has some peace of mind. The team yesterday extended the 25-year-old Pro Bowl wide receiver's contract through 2015. Now Green can turn his focus towards working with the Bengals' new offensive coordinator, Hugh Jackson.
You know, I feel great about it. You know, it's not his first rodeo. He's very experienced. So, you know, I think he's great for the job.
In three seasons in Cincinnati, Green has caught 260 passes and scored 29 touchdowns. The Bengals will reportedly now work to sign quarterback Andy Dalton to a long-term extension. Looking ahead to next fall, a key member of the Morehead State football's defense says the group is highly motivated to prove that it's much improved. The Eagles allowed over 539 yards and 46 points a game to their opponents in 2013. Senior safety Mike Jackson says he and MSU's other defenders are well aware of those numbers.
We were really embarrassed, basically. We were basically the worst passing and running defense in the PFL, and we want to come back and redeem ourselves.
How do you do that?
Playing hard, listening to the coaches, everybody doing their job, not trying to do too much, and everybody getting to the ball, basically.
The MSU football team closed down its spring practices last Saturday. The Eagles will try and start their preseason camp in August. And finally, acting Rowan County football coach Ray Graham says he's enjoyed working with the Viking players during the team's spring practices. Graham says their participation level has been very good, noting that 41 freshmen, sophomores, and juniors have been taking part in spring drills.
A whole lot of interest, you know. It's been really great with coaches cooperating. There's some guys that are on the track team, baseball team, you know, that can still get to a few little sessions that we're trying to do to teach them something in football and just really good attitudes.
The Viking football team has another week and a half of spring practices. Graham hopes to end things with a green-white inter-squad scrimmage. That's a look into the world of sports. Have a wonderful evening. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle softball will host Tennessee State this weekend at University Field. Games begin at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. on Saturday and 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information available from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
It is 4:54. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Bud Luke has been keeping track of the business news for us this afternoon. Here's Bud.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks rose with the S&P 500 extending its longest winning run of the year as investors considered earnings from companies including McDonald's and Netflix, along with a roughly $45 billion offer for Allergan. And as mentioned, Allergan jumping after Valeant Pharmaceuticals International proposed a merger with the Botox maker, and Netflix rallied after projecting price hikes for new customers. McDonald's gained after posting a lower-than-expected quarterly profit, interestingly enough. And at the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average finished with a gain of 65.12 at 16,514.37. The S&P 500 was up 7.66 at 1879.55, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 39.91, again the strongest of your three indices as it was yesterday, and the NASDAQ finishing at 4161.46. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 22-8 in favor of winning stocks over losers. At one point earlier, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 116 points, and Home Depot was actually the strongest of your 30 Dow stocks, as 19 of the 30 component companies finished with gains today. The Dow Transports rose to an intraday record with GATX and Alaska Air Group among the year's top gainers within that group. On the commodities markets, crude futures for May delivery fell $2.24 to finish at $102.13 a barrel, while gold futures for June delivery fell $7.40 to finish at $1,281.10 an ounce. The dollar fell against the currencies of major U.S. trading partners, while the yield on the 10-year Treasury note, of course critical in figuring mortgage rates and other consumer loans, held steady at just under 2.72%. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 18 cents at $97.59, CSX up 3 cents at $28.21, AEP up 2 cents at $51.67, Marathon Petroleum up 25 cents at $90.39, AK Steel down 12 cents at $6.59, and Fifth Third Bank was up 28 cents to finish at $21. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And now your weather forecast, including the cities of Moorhead, Owingsville, and Mount Sterling. Your weather for tonight should be cooler, mostly clear, with some patchy frost late, lows around 38 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be mostly sunny, highs up near 62. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, patchy frost late, lows around 33 in the valleys and near 41 on the ridges. Thursday it'll be partly cloudy with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, warmer with highs around 72, chance of rain 50%. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with showers likely and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Lows near 55, chance of rain 60%. Friday during the day, it'll be partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers. Highs up around 70. Friday night, partly cloudy, lows around 50 degrees. Saturday, it'll be partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers. Highs near 72 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows around 46, chance of rain 30%. And Sunday through Monday, it'll be mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs near 64 and lows around 49 degrees. It's currently 74 degrees in Ashland, 72 right now in Flemingsburg, 75 in Inez, 71 in Lexington, 71 as well in Winchester, and 73 degrees here in Moorhead.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Mike Williams, Shelby Steele, Chase Scott, Jordan Simonson, Nathan Gutierrez, and Samantha Morrill. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.